been searching for someone to fill the void in your heart? Have you been searching for someone to take all your pain away? Come see a man who died so you can have eternal life. Come meet a man that loves you more than you'll ever know. Let me introduce you to a man, a king, a savior, a provider. My friend, I introduce to you.
Thank you. inspiration for your soul. The Pastor James Grossman Show.
Afternoon, one and all, or Good Friday morning, depending where you are. It may well even be Good Friday evening, but either way, it's a Good Friday. And we always say, well, what's so good about it? Well, we already know that it wasn't a good day for the Lord, but it was a day that needed to happen and a day that must happen and a day that was prophesied would happen. Whether we like it or not, whether he liked it or not, it was bound to happen. Today, we're going to dig in and dive in. We are coming with you this holy weekend with a series called Giving Up and Letting Go. And yes, the titles are very unique, but you'll understand it better by and by, as the song says, but certainly before the end of this session with you, we are certainly going to know a little bit more about giving up. Amen. But I hope all is well and you're all blessed and truly highly favored and that you are all well. Amen. And if not well in the Lord, because the Lord can bring you through, he can carry you through, and he certainly will see you through. Amen. And so we want to just spend some time getting into our worship. You know, we don't do anything without prayer. And yeah, here with Pastor Jay Grosner, even the Pastor Jay Grosner Show or just Grosner Ministries, we like our music. Amen. And music will usher in and will create the atmosphere that you need. And so I need you to all just relax and enjoy what is ahead of you today. And then let us celebrate. Yes, I'm going to say the word celebrate. Recall, recollect, and reflect, forgive me, the events of this day over 24 years ago. Amen. So let's dive in. I can't seem to talk today. I'm so excited. Praise God. I want to take some time to shout out to my husband and from my family to yours, a Good Friday blessing. And also a shout out to my mom, yes, who's in studio, and I'm always thankful for her support and her encouragement, and certainly for our listeners out there around the world, and I mean around the world. I'm going to do a little bit of business before we get into this because I haven't been able to get onto a show recently. It's coming because we've got all kinds of things happening. We've had an anniversary for the show itself, and I believe it's now in its 11th year, amen. And so we are thankful for God because we know nothing but God's grace brought us through. So to God be all the glory. And our numbers are always wonderful around the world, and Canada remains on top and America underneath. And third and fourth has been replaced. Yes, we have Bangladesh, praise God. And then Nigeria. And then, of course, we've got the UK. And I think Barbados is somewhere, but it's not in the top five anymore. But that's okay. We are just grateful that you still feel encouraged enough to want to be here to listen and hear, and that you allow us to be used by God for his glory. Amen. But let us begin. We're going to start with some worship, and then we're going to come back and we're going to do some prayer, and then we're going to dive into the wonderful word of God. Amen. The best book I've ever read and the best book I've ever known. And you know what? They always say if a book is really good, you can't put it down. Well, I would hope that you don't ever put it down. Amen. We need to know, we need to be aware, and we need to be mindful because we want to make sure that we can spend the right time with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So let us get into our worship mode and we'll take it here. We'll be right back.
my mouth for your praise. When was I saved? I used to start each day. Lord, I know that I can't thank you enough for all you've done for me. You hung your head, you bled and died just to save a wretch like me. So I give my heart. You can use it as you please. And as long as I live, I'm gonna praise you. Oh, I'm gonna praise you. Never, never. My head bowed low, down on my knees, my heart surrendered. Here's my offering, Lord. I know that I can't thank you enough for all you've done for me. You hung your head, you bled and died just to save a wretch like me. So I give
we do.
Amen. Let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly to your throne of grace and mercy, Father God. We come torn this very day. We call it good, and it did turn out for our good. But the price that was paid was something we could never, ever pay back. But Father God, as we watch the world that you look down on at this moment, Father God, and wonder where your children of God are and where your people of God are and what your people of God are doing and what your children are up to, Father God, it is said that you love each of us like we are only one. But Father God, for those of us who look to you for our everything, who acknowledge you as King and King and Lord of Lords and the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the very end, and know that nothing is without you. Father, we just ask this day that you continue to provide for us and watch over us and keep us and sustain us. And Father God, just continue to try to give us perfect peace. With the world in torment and the majority of the world at war, Father God, we look to no one else but you. We lift up the leaders of these countries, Father God, and we ask that you would continue to seek and find where they need to fix who they are, what they are, where they are, and what they're doing. And Father God, for those who are caught in the midst of all of these battles, all these trials and tribulations, Father God, we just ask for mercy. Much, much grace and sufficient mercy, Father God. And that you would continue to find a way out of no way for those who need it. And for the simplest and humblest of those like me, Father God, that you would just the mere things like food and clothing and shelter and warmth. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, for those who need healing, we look to you because by his stripes we declare we are healed. And Father God, for all those who are in need, who don't reach out and let anyone know, for those who may be hurting or turmoiling within, Father, be it mental health or just depression or strife, Father God, in the name of Jesus, as the song says, seek and find in me a clean heart. So, Father, for those in need, Father, within and search and find you within their hearts and let it shine on the outside. But as we now prepare for your word, Father God, we ask that you would allow us to listen well, to retain well, to recall it when needed, and more importantly, Father God, to practice it according to your will. Bless us now this day as we give you praise and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. And we all said, Amen. We're going to prepare for our scripture lessons for today. And yes, we're doing some serious Bible study today, more Bible study and less preaching today. Praise God, because the Word of God is going to be the word for the people. Amen. And so to give you time, today we will be reading our Old Testament is from Psalm 22, and our New Testament reading is from Mark 15. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back, and then I shall read.
Baby, did you know would one day walk on water. Maybe did you know your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered would soon
did you know? Well, we can't say the people of God didn't know. Amen. Let's turn to our Old Testament reading. We're reading from Psalm 22. I'm going to read until the Lord says when. Amen. I normally read from King James Version, but I think I want to read from this New International Version today because I want it to be very plain, as it says, write the vision, make it plain. Amen. And I want to make it plain because this is prophecy. Now remember this, you're going to hear these words and it's a psalm. So it's a song by David. Amen. And within these words, you're going to recognize something if you know the word of God already. And if not, well, we're going to come right around and make sure you do understand for those who don't. Okay, I'll begin. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries of anguish. My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you, our ancestors put their trust. They trusted you, and you delivered them. To you, they cried out and were saved. In you, they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you, from my mother's womb, and you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me, roaring lions that tear their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It was melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs surround me. A pack of villains encircles me. They pierce my hands and feet. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns, the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my people in the assembly. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him, revere him. All you descendants of Israel, for he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. And I'll end it there. All right. Did anybody recognize anything? Okay. Let's turn to Mark chapter 15. I'm again reading from the New International Version. I'm going to start from verse 6 until the Lord says when. I begin. Now it was the custom at the festival to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Asked Pilate, knowing it was out of self-interest that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. What shall I do then with the one you call the king of the Jews? Pilate asked them. Crucify him, they shouted. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him, and they began to call out to him, Hail, King of the Jews! Again and again they struck him on the head with the staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, They took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. Here ends the reading of the word of God for the people of God. May he add a blessing to his most holy word and the doing of same. We shall hear from the Lord. Amen. I understand better now. Falling on my knees. The soldiers fell on their knees and paid homage to him, but they were mocking him. If they only knew what they should have known, and if they only understood what they should have understood. Amen. Today we've entitled the word giving up. I know most of you, or a great deal of you, or the bulk of you at times feel like giving up. If I told you I never felt like giving up at times, I would be lying, and therefore I would not be considered anywhere close to being somewhat righteous by the Lord's measures, and certainly not fit for the kingdom of heaven. Amen? They say it doesn't matter if it's a big lie or a little lie or a small lie or a white lie, or doesn't matter what color the lie is. A lie is a lie. Amen? And so I can tell you there are many times, yes, I said that many times, that I felt like giving up on different things. Sometimes you're just trying something and it just doesn't work and you go, oh, I give up. Or there are other times when you are dealing with more serious things and you say, you know what, I give up and walk away. And then there's those most critical times in your life when you just don't feel like going on anymore. And you literally say, not to yourself, but probably to the Lord, whether you believe it or not, and you say, I give up. But no matter how big or small the situation is, and no matter how simple or complicated the matter may be, to give up, to be something we looked upon as being a quitter, you were a loser, you just gave up and that was it, and you didn't work at it, you didn't try, you didn't even put any time in, you didn't make any effort, and so we give it such a negative connotation. But I bring to you this day that sometimes in life, giving up, they say, giving up is not an option. It's a standard saying. I've got songs. I'll even play it next week if you want. Giving up is not an option. But yet, sometimes giving up is an option because it depends on what you're giving up. Example, we read in the Old Testament all that was read. And it began with being forsaken. Remember, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now remember, this is an Old Testament. But we also know that in the New Testament, we know while hanging on the cross, Jesus said the same thing to his Father. And these words were not simple words. They were key and important words to the point that we have now transcribed and transformed these last seven words of Christ Almighty to be the most powerful words ever spoken by Christ. And we know that he says, my God, why have thou forsaken me? It would sound as though he was ready to give up. But that's not the first time that we saw that he was prepared to give up. I take you to the Last Supper, as it's so infamously called and recalled. And he went and he sat down and he broke bread. Remember, this is what we do so often and remember. And some places they do it every first Sunday. Some places do it at weddings and baptisms and christenings. And some people do it once in a blue moon. But he did say to do this as often in remembrance of me. And we call it communion. But he sat down with his disciples at a table and he broke bread and he explained that this is my body. Take and eat it and do this often in remembrance of me. Amen. And he took some wine and he drank it and he said, this is my blood. Drink up and drink it and do so often in remembrance of me. And we do this now because to us, this is when we have to come to the altar humbly. And this is us dining and supping with the Lord. Amen. In remembrance of him and what he taught. But while he's sitting at that table and he humbles himself because he talks to them and he tells them what they need to do and how they need to do and what instructions he would have for them, all knowing that, as it says, this is his last supper. I'm sure it's not the last piece of food he ate, but it was his last supper with his disciples. Think of it like the boardroom, and it's his last big meeting because he's going to be leaving. And you all need to pay attention to what I'm saying because these are very important things to keep the company going when I'm gone. And this is no different. I know you can all relate to the big company board meetings and the directors meetings. And well, this was a major meeting of minds. These were the minds that Jesus had put together to continue his mission and his ministry when he had told them to go ye into the world. Amen. He was giving instructions all while he knew what was going to happen to him. At that same dinner, he even let everyone know that somebody is going to betray him. And I'm going to encourage you, I don't want to get into too much scripture today. I encourage you to read Luke 22 and Matthew 26, all of it. Don't read some, I'll give you parts, but no, you're going to read all of it. So that's your homework. But for those of you who know, you know about Judas Iscariot and how he had planned and plotted with the Romans, and he took money from them to betray Jesus. And at this dinner, this very important meeting of minds where he's giving his very last, noblest instructions to the disciples who would carry on until he returns, amen, and said, tonight, one of you is going to betray me. And they were all like, what are you talking about? No, we would never do that. And at that same dinner, he literally says that the one who has his hand in this bowl with me will betray me. And it was Judas. Judas was giving up Jesus, because giving up could take several definitions. You can give up yourself, or Judas gave up Jesus. He was handing him over. He was going to let go of him and send him off and just give him away. But at the same point, while Judas was giving up Jesus, Jesus also gave up himself. I take you after this dinner, there's nothing like a nice little walk in the garden. Amen. Praise God. And so the disciples, after Judas left, remember, Jesus told him to go. Knew that Jesus knew it was him, and he said, look, it's right here. This is the person who's going to do it. And everybody's astounded and shocked. But Judas wasn't surprised, because I guess he understood that the Lord knew. And then the Lord even told him to go and do what you need to do. So in a way, Jesus gave up. Because he could have said, you know what, Judas, don't go ahead with it anymore. I've changed my mind. We're not doing this. You know what? Come on, let's just leave town. Nope. He said, go and do what you need to do. And then after the dinner, they went out for a walk. They went to the infamous garden that we all know about. And he went there. And he told his disciples, listen, I need to go and pray for a bit. Can you all just kind of wait for me and you know, be in prayer for me? Because that's what you would want your friends to do. If I'm going to spend some time praying, I would truly appreciate if you know what I'm going through and that I'm turmoiled. And they didn't understand the magnitude of what was going to happen, but they knew that, you know, he was in danger. He needed to be careful and that he had a lot on his plate. And so you ask your friends to pray with you. And then he went off. Do you remember that story where he really asked God if he could just give up? He said, if he could take this cup from him, meaning he doesn't want to do this anymore. He's asking his father, Daddy, I know what you want me to do, and I understand, and we've come this far. But truly, Daddy, I'm scared. Remember, this is Jesus in flesh. He's human. And he said, you know, if it would be your will. This is him checking in with his dad. By the way, Daddy, did you change your mind? Because I really don't want to do this anymore. This is not fun. But then, even though he wanted to give up, he said, okay, you clearly want me to go ahead, then I will do your will. Amen? Sometimes when you want to give up, you can't give up. If you know there's something why you're not supposed to give up, then you shouldn't give up. If you know that there are repercussions to be had if you give up, then you can't give up. But then after he came back and he was all disappointed because these people he wanted to pray for him are sleeping, yeah, sleeping on him, and he's like, great, I'm about to go through the worst turmoil of my life, and these people are supposed to be praying for me while I'm praying and speaking with my dad, and bam, they're sleeping. Like, hello. Even then, he knew the time had come, because when he saw the soldiers coming, he again reaffirmed with Judas to do what he needed to do, and Judas came and greeted him with a kiss. And at that moment, that's when the soldiers said, hey, we don't want to crucify the wrong guy. You're going to make sure we understand who it is. And so Jesus said, go ahead. Do what you have to do. That was Jesus giving up again. He gave himself up. He could have fought. He could have ran. He could have done all kinds of, he is Jesus. He works miracles. He could have done so many things. And the only miracle that he pulled off at that very moment was when his own people started to pull swords, wanted to fight, one even cut off the ear of a Roman soldier. And Jesus said, no, we're not doing this. It's okay. I give up. It's okay. And then he went and took the ear and put it back on that Roman soldier and healed him. Now, for the life of me, I don't know a soul out there who would actually see that, not be astounded by that, and still wonder, why did this guy just go? He probably could have vanished in the thin air. Like, this is the miracle guy here. Hello? But he didn't. Because he knew that he had to give up to allow the next steps to go forth. I say this today, depending on why you want to give up and depending on how you want to give up, that maybe you shouldn't give up because you know you're not supposed to give up. But for those who are in a situation when they know there's a reason that they're supposed to give up, must do so. And I know that sounded very confusing, so I'm going to give some explanation because we want to make this so plain. You are stressed out. You're tired. You're fed up. Maybe you just want to give up on your job. Maybe you just want to give up on your family. Maybe you want to give up on your life. Then don't, unless the Lord tells you. And I can tell you right now, the Lord will never tell you to give up on your life. But think about this. If you're tired and fed up with your job, seek the Lord and understand and know if he does not want you to give up, then you need to keep going. But the best way to move forward from there is to allow the Lord to lead you. Let him order your steps. If you want to give up on your family, I'm going to say don't, at least not yet, until you seek the Lord. Because that could be the difference of a major thing in your family's life. Example, if you decided you want to give up on your family and walk away, maybe the repercussions are going to go on for a lifetime. A few generations will be wounded and hurt because you gave up. So unless the Lord tells you to give up, then don't give up. But maybe what you need to do, again, is seek the Lord. Because maybe in your particular situation, maybe the Lord is saying, if you don't give up, you're that close to a breakthrough. It would be a shame for you to walk away just when things were about to change. Or maybe if you don't give up, you'll be able to soften that hard heart of someone in your family. Maybe if you don't give up, you'll get back the love that you give in return. But the only way to know when to give up and when not to give up is to seek the Lord. Because only he knows what tomorrow brings. And he told us that we shouldn't worry about it. I kind of like having the logic and the idea that there's somebody that I can say, I'm going to leave it with you, Lord. And then I just keep going, and then you direct it. Because remember, only he is the one who can clear all the obstacles out of your way while you keep going. Or maybe he may say, don't give up yet, but just be still and know that I am God. And he's working on something, but needs you to just stand your ground for now and wait. Or maybe he's saying, don't give up. Go in this direction because it's safer, it's better, or I have so much more that you need to deal with, or you need to be a blessing with, or you need to be blessed by in this direction. But we will never, ever know until we seek the Lord. And here the instructions of God and know what he would want us to do. Amen. And now I come to the biggest point of giving up. The most important part is while Jesus was on the cross, and within those seven powerful words, he did ask, my God, why have you forsaken me? He also didn't give up because he realized that the people down below just weren't acting right. But he said to his Father, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. He was even asking for mercy and grace to be upon these people who were doing the utmost to him. The mocking that we heard about in the Old Testament was now taking place. The casting of lots and dividing his clothes and all of those things were taking place as we heard in the Old Testament. He even saved souls while he himself was feeling lost and felt like giving up. And said, truly, I tell you this day, you will be with me in paradise, to the thief on the cross beside him. Because he didn't give up, he was still able to accomplish things he needed to do, even at his last hour. And I mean last hour. But the most important thing that we know about giving up is you don't give up until you know you're supposed to. And we know that right before he finally gave up, he said, it is finished. And then he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He gave up to the soldiers, but he never gave up on what he was supposed to do. He never gave up his life until he knew everything was finished. And when he finished and gave up that spirit, it's all because he never gave up on you.
What does the cross of Jesus mean? It's more than songs we sing. Much more than that. But it means I'm free, yes, from the chains of slavery. And the blood it shed won't let my sins remain. Oh my, upon the cross my Savior died. The Lamb was crucified, showed us love that this world had never known. Oh, what love divine, so divine, true love you never find. So that we might live, love came and died. Well, the cross will always wear the love God had for me. When the Lord of glory had gave all on Calvary, he did it just for me. thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Came and did just for. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. Just for me. You died on Calvary. Oh, yes, you did. Oh, Jesus came. Did us. We're ever grateful, say now just for me. Died on Calvary, hung you upon the tree, oh yes baby.
Jesus
came, did it just for me, oh just for me. But you rose again on a Sunday. Yes, you did. Yes,
Jesus
came and did it
just for
Actually, it wasn't just for me. It was for all of us. Amen. It was for all of us. And you have to make sure that it was not in vain. Praise God. You know, I know a lot of you may know the Lord, but to know him and to love him is two different things. To know him and to serve him are two different things. And then to know him and to be a part of him is a very big different thing. And to know him and to know that you are part of him and he is a part of you and you have him in your heart. And to believe in him is an extremely different thing. A few years ago, I wrote this, and I'm going to read this, and maybe some of you can relate. It says, "A lifetime of love is what I called it. When I was 7 years old, I fell in love with the love of my life, my childhood sweetheart, my everything and all. Over the years, we have had our struggles, and at times I left him, but he never left me. I waited for me to come back to him. In 2000, I matured and grew up and realized what true sacrificial, undying, and unconditional love was. And was mature enough to give that back to a man who would give that back in return. And then I saw him again after all our years of ups and downs, disappointments and heartache. He had never stopped loving me. I cried as I ran back into my lover's arms, fell to the ground, and kissed the feet of the man who would do anything for me, including die for me. I looked up into his face as he looked back at me with his arms wide open for my embrace while he hung on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. I love you too, with all my heart. Amen. I can tell you, I've been in the world, I've experienced the world, and, well, the world doesn't really have anything for me, amen. I think there's a part of us that we're always missing something until we find that missing piece. We are not made whole until we find that missing piece. And some of us, we search and seek for everything. We seek it in the world. We seek it in love. We seek it in alcohol. We seek it in drugs. We seek it through prostitution. We seek it through pornography. We seek it through all sorts of things, all sorts of worldly things. And instead of it actually feeling like we're now fulfilled, we still feel even more empty. Because not only do we seek that missing thing in our lives, the more we go to the world and the more we do in the world is the further away we get from the thing that we really need. And I can tell you, my life has not been the same. When I was 7 years old, I accepted the Lord into my heart. And I thought, I didn't understand it, but all I knew is that there was a man named Jesus who loved me so much that he wanted me to have eternal life, that he wanted to make sure I was not punished for any sins that I may have committed, and that I would know true undying love. And for that, he took all my sins upon himself and was mocked and scorned and taunted and just put up with so much that I thought I could never even take one little ounce of. And he didn't just take it on for me, but for the entire world, just so we could understand how much God loves us, that he gave his only begotten son and said, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And it's so simple. And back then, I knew my ABCs. I was 7 years old. And now I tell you, I'm, 50 plus of that 7 years old, literally. And I tell you right now, it's still as simple as ABC. This world is changing and has changed, but the one thing that remains constant is salvation. From your great, 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 great forefathers to now and to the future, generations to come, the gospel will always remain the same. Today, I invite you, if you want to A, admit that you are a sinner, B, believe in Christ and the Lord God Almighty, and C, you need to confess to him, not to me. You need to just confess to him. And even if you can't find it in your heart to say the words out loud to the Lord, you can say it within your mind and in your heart, because he knows your thoughts and he certainly knows your heart. Admit, believe, and confess upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And for those who already know, it's okay. There's a song, it says, come home, come home. Yes. The Lord has never left you. Only you have left him. He's always standing in the same spot waiting for you to just call the name Jesus. You can just say, Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. And if you mean it and believe it, and he'll know, then you're good. But other than that, I can't tell you what to do. I can't force you to do. I'm not going to force anything on you, because it's something you have to know for yourself. So I'm going to leave that with you. And we'll be right back with our benediction. But let all your yeses be for the Lord.
This life you gave.
Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and evermore. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Pastor Jay Grossman Show.
The passion of my love for you.